Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life. Yeah, yeah.
In the Morning is sponsored by Good News Christian Ministries and has been broadcast weekly since 1999. Do visit our website, gncm.ca. Here, you will find podcasts of the programs and introductions to the Ottawa pastors who deliver the good news to growing numbers of listeners worldwide. They appreciate and need your regular prayers. Our heartfelt thanks to all those who support us financially. And now, here is today's presentation.
Good morning. I'm your host today, Brian Wilkie of St. Andrew's Christian Church in Rockland. As we begin today, my prayer is that the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ would encourage and strengthen you today. As we broadcast this message in the midst of the season of Lent, as we run up towards Good Friday and Easter, it's important to me that we take a look at what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. So in my last broadcast, I spoke generally about following Jesus, remembering that that Jesus gives us direction through his word, gives us guidance through the Holy Spirit, and gives us power to do what he desires through his answers to prayer and the empowerment of his gift to us, the Holy Spirit. And so that sounds like a very wonderful thing, and it is a wonderful thing to follow Jesus, but Jesus also gives some strong warnings to us as Christians to recognize that following him will be challenging and will put us face to face with the resistance to God that is found in the sin of the world. And so he describes the willingness that we need to serve and even lay down our lives for him as he speaks in Matthew chapter 16 about his identity, his work, and how our work will follow his example. So in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13, he is speaking to his disciples. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to the disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth. Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of God. Jesus has, once again, as he tends to do, he's packed a lot of content into a brief discussion with his disciples. And as we take a look at what this means, it will illuminate what it means for us to follow Jesus and take up our cross daily. We will look at that, but let's listen to some music which speaks about the cross. This is a familiar hymn sung by an Ottawa singing group, Destiny, from their album Next Level, singing At the Cross. Would you listen to it with me?
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for sinners such as I? At the cross, at the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away, was there. By faith I received my sight. Crimes that I have done, he groaned upon the tree.
Amazing pity,
grace unknown, and love.
As this scripture began, the question was, who is Jesus? And this was the question that people had been asking all over the area as they listened to this teacher, saw the miracles he did, and wondered if he could be perhaps one of the great prophets of old brought back to give a message from God again, or whether he might be, in fact, the Messiah that was promised long ago. Others suggested that he was John the Baptist brought back to life, because John the Baptist had been executed for his ministry and the offense that his ministry had caused to some of the leadership of the area. So there were all kinds of speculation about who Jesus was. And Jesus draws these answers out of his disciples and says, yes, but what do you think? And Peter is the one who bursts forth with the confession of faith has become the signature of the church. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus commends him for that. Jesus demonstrates that this confession of Christ is laudable, that it's a work of God in Simon Peter's life. And when you're able to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the Son of the living God, you are also being moved by the Holy Spirit of God. You are being redeemed by the work of God as he teaches you the truth so that you can live in it. So Simon Peter is really commended for his confession of faith, and he's told how important that faith is in the way that Christians will live their lives and be able to work God's work on the earth. But Jesus knows there's something that the disciples don't understand yet about following God. Because often we think, since God is all-powerful, since God is the Lord of the universe and of all eternity, that being on his side would mean constant pleasure, constant ease, and constant ability to overcome every obstacle. But Jesus, using his own life as an illustration, begins to tell them that being the Christ, the Son of the living God, means that he is going to go to Jerusalem, that he is going to suffer many things at the hands of the elders and the chief priests and the teachers of the law, and that he will be killed, and on the third day rise again to life. Now, Peter seems to have stopped listening somewhere along the way as he hears Jesus talk about all this doom and gloom and insists that it's not possible. Jesus, who is the Son of the living God, shouldn't be talking so negatively, that he ought to have better hope and better positivity. But he decides to rebuke Jesus and says, "Lord, this will never happen to you." And Jesus makes the strongest rebuke in all of Scripture as he says to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Isn't that a shock? Peter has said something amazing just a few moments ago, something that no one has ever dared to say out loud among the disciples to that point. He says something that God has taught him and taught him from the Holy Spirit, that Peter has had an insight which is amazing, that Jesus is the Son of the living God. But within that same mind is a conviction and an opinion which is still earthly and fleshly and uninspired. When he expresses his conviction and his hope that the Lord Jesus will never suffer any harm because he is the Lord, it could never happen to him. Peter understands who Jesus is, but he doesn't understand what it implies for Jesus' life. And in many respects, this is true of many who confess Jesus. They have the faith to believe that he's the Son of the living God, but they don't understand that the suffering that he undergoes on the cross is essential to his identity and his ministry. They don't understand that being part of the body of Christ doesn't mean having everything go your way, that it means standing for God in a world which opposes him. And so Jesus doesn't just rebuke Peter for saying that this suffering could never happen to him. He reminds the disciples, he teaches the disciples, that suffering is part of their lot as well, saying to them that they themselves must take up their cross and follow him. Now, these disciples wouldn't be under any illusions about what the cross meant. They had seen enough crosses as the Romans executed rebels and thieves and murderers and all kinds of people just to make examples of them. It was a horrible means of execution, and it was designed to be a deterrent. It was designed to let people know that if they raised their hand against the Roman Empire, they would be made an example of. So when he says, "Take up the cross," none of the disciples were thinking that that he was saying they ought to wear a little golden cross as a jewel around their neck, or a little cross marking on their skin, or anything decorative or ornamental. They knew that he was talking about losing their life for his sake. And so Jesus makes it very clear that following him, believing in him, means following him in the challenging circumstances of the kingdom of God. And he says, mind you, that this seemingly hard teaching is something you've got to put into an eternal perspective. That when you take up your cross and follow me, you've got to remember that if you lose your life for my sake, you will find it eternally. However, if you spend your life trying to gain your own benefit and do your own thing, you could very well gain the whole world but lose your soul. That not following Jesus is an eternal death, whereas following Jesus leads through the route of cross-bearing into eternal life. I hope that helps some people believe in the message of Jesus, that it's not pie in the sky by and by. Jesus came into the real world in which violence and opposition take place, where people try to grasp by force what they want from others, a world of real suffering, a world in which he shares in the suffering of his people. And he calls his followers to be filled with the same love that is willing to take the burdens and share the burdens of others and help others along the way. We're going to speak more about this taking up the cross after the next song, which once again speaks about the cross as singer, Angel Smythe, from the 1990s, sings about the sacrifice of praise. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. Very often we may think that the sacrifice of praise is simply songs that are sung. But the sacrifice of praise really is the life offered for God's glory, whatever the cost. That is the sacrifice of praise we bring into the house of the Lord. Let's listen to this song together. It's important for us to note as we think about bearing the cross that Jesus has a couple of things about the cross that we need to understand very well. One is that Jesus accomplished on the actual cross something that no other person could or will ever accomplish. No one ever needs to repeat what Jesus did on the cross, because in that one offering of himself, he paid the sin debt of the whole world. He paid for every sin that you've ever committed. He has redeemed you and reconciled you to God. He has taken all the offense that you have thrown against God by your disobedience, he's taken upon himself, and he has not counted against you anymore. That work of the cross is not repeatable. But Jesus uses the example of his laying down his life to teach his disciples how fully committed to following him they are going to be. They're going to be that way because they will be transformed by Jesus. They're not ready for it at this point in the scriptures when Peter first affirms Christ and then rebukes him. He's not quite ready yet. He hasn't received all the understanding and the faith that he needs to follow Jesus fully, but he will. You know it and I know it, that after Peter even denied Christ on the night of his betrayal, he was reconciled and restored to his ministry by the grace of God. And Jesus gave to his disciples the Holy Spirit, which made them bold where they had been cowardly before, and made them wise beyond their education, and gave them gifts and ability to go and spread the word. Peter wasn't there yet in the middle of the Gospel of Matthew, but Jesus had provided a way to make him ready and able by his grace and his power to follow Jesus, even to the point of laying down his life in an execution years and years later. But what we also need to understand is that when Jesus talks about taking up the cross, he's not just talking about an end-of-life decision. He is talking about the daily sacrifice of following him. Jesus uses this expression of taking up the cross in Matthew chapter 10 when he speaks more fully about following him. And he's sending out his disciples to go into the towns and villages of the region, and he tells them exactly how they are to spread the good news. But he warns them that he's sending them out like sheep among wolves. He's sending them out and is telling them to be on their guard against people, because some people will hand them over to the local councils and they'll be punished for preaching the good news. Others will send them over to the Gentiles, hand them over to the Roman authorities, and they will be imprisoned or flogged or even some of them possibly even killed for the ministry that they're doing. He notes that their own families may resist what they're doing, may think they're being foolish for following this prophet from Nazareth. They will find opposition within their own homes and with their own villages and their own people and in the world at large. And so he tells them that they've got a decision to make about whether they're going to love Jesus more than these comforts and helps in the world, whether they're going to lay down their life and take up their cross and follow him. Jesus gives more context to the idea of taking up the cross, and we see that it's a daily work of laying down our lives, not by dying physically, but by recognizing that each day belongs to God, and that whatever the cost, it's better to follow God and do his will than to pursue all our dreams or any of our dreams. This is what it is to take up the cross and follow Jesus. For Jesus, in going to the cross, did not do something that was pleasant to him. We see evidence enough of that in the Garden of Gethsemane. And at every stage along the way, we see that the cross loomed over his life as a necessary suffering that he had to go through, but a very real suffering. Even so that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he says, "Lord, Father, let this cup pass from me if it's possible." But then he says, "Since it's not possible for this cup to pass by without me drinking it, let your will be done, not mine." Are you willing to say that to Jesus? Are you willing to say that to Jesus as you wake up in the morning and face the day and prepare to make the decisions about how you will serve him, even if it means there's not enough time for the things you wanted to do with the day? That seems like a very small cross to bear, but it is the one that can wear on us. And so I encourage you, if you find this teaching of Jesus to bear your cross to be a burdensome one, be willing to take it to Jesus. Be willing to confess to Jesus your hesitations and your doubts, and let him minister to you with the strength that the Father ministered to him. For when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, he didn't simply have to strengthen himself to go and face the cross. Instead, the Heavenly Father sent angels to minister to him, to help him. And in that, he shows us that we also can hear the call to live our lives for Jesus, to lose our lives for his sake as we daily sacrifice to him. And yet we don't do it in our own strength. We do it with the grace that God provides day by day and moment by moment as we need it. Would you turn with me in prayer to ask God for this grace in your life as I ask for it in mine? Almighty God, we come before you thankful that Jesus laid down his life for us. And we are so grateful that as we follow him and lay down our lives daily for him, that he will accomplish great things to bring salvation and grace and glory to a world desperately in need of his love. Use us, Almighty God. Let our lives be consecrated to you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. And this closing song, sung by the a cappella group This Hope from their album Edges, is a song that expresses this very sentiment, a hymn that says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee." God bless you as we continue in our pursuit of Jesus. Amen.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love.
Thank you for tuning in. If you have been blessed and encouraged, do tell your friends about this program. Feel free to send in questions and comments via the website. And be sure to share your good news if you have come to faith through listening. But the program on its own is not enough. Don't forget to join other Christians in worship in a church where the gospel is soundly proclaimed and where it is lived out with compassion, integrity, and resolve. We so appreciate the donations, which we depend on to keep us on the air week by week. We invite individuals, companies to donate any amount, anytime, or to sponsor our programs on an annual basis. Please donate via our website or make a check out to Good News Christian Ministries and send it to 96 Pheasant Run Drive, Ottawa, Ontario, K2J2R5, Canada. Be part of the movement that is affecting lives worldwide. May you come to know Jesus Christ personally and profoundly. May the Holy Spirit reside deeply within your heart
And may you feel our Heavenly Father surrounding you with His constant, abiding, accompanying love.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studios of News Talk Radio 580 CFRA.